ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Chapter 3, Karma Yoga, text number, I'm sure Greg is going to tell us, 7, right, Greg? Or 6, yeah, it looks like 6 to me too, yeah, 6. Okay, text number 6. So we're reading from the word for word. Please repeat. Karma indriyani sangyamya yaha aste manasa smaran. Yeah, it's page 168 in that. Yeah, it's all right. We'll just wait for you. We want to... Actually, the idea is what we're doing now. I mean, don't think that I am also has realized this, but we're trying to learn the verse now, actually. The idea is that after I'm done, then we all know the verse by heart, or at least after the class, or at least tomorrow morning. So, now that's the idea, that when you walk away, you try to learn the verse, and then by tomorrow morning, like maybe during japa, you learn a little more, and then you know the verse. That's the idea with this repeating. So you got it? 3:6? Chapter 3, text number 6. Okay. Okay, so I'm going to go from manasa, by the mind. Manasa, smaran, indriya artan, vimudha, atma, mitya acharaha, saha, Uchate karmendriyani sangyamya yaste manasasmaran indriyartan vimudhadma midyachara sa uchate karmendriyani sangyamya yaste manasasmaran Indriyartan vimudhadma midyachara sa uchate karmendriyani sangyamya ya aste manasasmaran Indriyartan vimudhadma midyachara sa uchate Karmendriyani sangyamya ya aste manasasmaran indriyartan vimudadma midyachara sa uchate Karmendriyani sangyamya Yaste manasasmaran Indriyartan vimudhadma Midyachara sa uchyate. You like to try? Oh, okay, no problem. Bro, please. Karmendriyani sangyamya Yaste manasasmaran Indriyartan vimudhadma Midyachara sa uchate. Please repeat. Karma indriyani. The 5 working sense organs. Sangyamya. Controlling. Ya. sorry, Yaha, anyone who aste remains manasa by the mind, smaran thinking of, indriya artan sense objects, vimudha foolish, atma soul, mitya acharaha pretender, saha he, uchyate is called. Translation: one who restrains the senses of action, but whose mind dwells on sense objects, certainly deludes himself and is called a pretender. Purport: there are many pretenders who refuse to work in Krishna consciousness, but make a show of meditation, while actually dwelling within the mind upon sense enjoyment. Such pretenders may also speak on dry philosophy in order to bluff sophisticated followers, but according to this verse, these are the greatest cheaters. For sense enjoyment, one can act in any capacity of the social order, but if one follows the rules and regulations of his particular status, he can make gradual progress in purifying his existence. But he who makes a show of being a yogi while actually searching for the objects of sense gratification must be called the greatest cheater, even though he sometimes speaks of philosophy. His knowledge has no value because the effects of such a sinful man's knowledge are taken away by the illusory energy of the Lord. Such a pretender's mind is always impure, and therefore his show of yogic meditation has no value whatsoever. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadhati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bhandu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanshakalpata Rubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyaebacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhadar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Karmendriyani Sangyamya Ya Aste Manasa Smaran Indriyartan Vimudadma Mityachara Sa Uchate. So I want to a little bit study the Sanskrit, but before we do, I want to just give a little comment on this verse so that you have an idea what we're discussing. As far as I'm concerned, this is a very quite a controversial verse in one sense. I think it's many times misused and abused, maybe even. What I understand from this verse, because many times devotees are actually, because I'm a brahmachari, it's a little bit personal, but many times this verse is used to preach against brahmacharis that they should get married. You're a pretender, Prabhu, you better get married. But if you read the purport clearly, then as far as I'm concerned, Prabhupada is speaking about Mayavadis. He's speaking about yogis, people who are, you know, like I used to be one of them, you know, I will admit it. Not so much, but a little bit. I was having these yoga classes, I was pretending to be a spiritual person, and then at the end of the weekend, I would smoke and drink and do so many nonsense. So that is a pretender. I was pretending to be a yoga scholar, And I was teaching people about yoga and also that they were not the body and like that. I mean, it was quite nice. But it's like a pretender. It's like a cheater. And I remember very distinctly that Prabhupada was explaining that in the books. And then I understood, I'm actually a cheater because I don't have the absolute truth. I'm not telling people about Krishna. So it's like somebody is lost in the forest and you just tell him, well, you just go that way, you know. That way is good. And then he gets lost and eaten by a tiger or whatever, you know. But if you don't know, you should just tell the person, I actually don't know. Let's just look at this, you know. But if you know, then you can say, yeah, the road, you just keep going straight and then you hit the river and then you just go to the right and then you hit the road. So that is the Krishna conscious person. That is the verse I just sang. Om Agyanati Manandasya. The spiritual master opens the eyes with the torch of knowledge. And then you can see, you can understand. Like if you're lost in the forest, you might not know where is east, where is west. And you meet somebody, he says, you know, there is west, there is east, there is the road. And then your eyes are opened by knowledge. So anyway, so that as far as I'm concerned, that is what Prabhupada is talking about here in the verse. And of course, you know, I mean, I will admit that sometimes I also dwell on the senses, but we are doing Krishna consciousness. That is a different thing. It's a different thing altogether. Because the cure for lust, generally, is not getting married. The cure for lust is chanting Hare Krishna. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with getting married, and if you do it in the proper way, because that is another thing. If you're married, because, I mean, Prabhupada, he said that if you are too lusty, then you get married. At the same time, if you're really too lusty, then it's also not good to get married, because it's a very responsible ashram, and you're marrying a devotee. So either way, if one of the partners is too lusty, that is not good, because it's a very responsible ashram, and you know, you should know that you should only have sex to have Krishna conscious children. You're supposed to chant 50 rounds. It's kind of a tapasya. It's quite kind of difficult ashram. You know, actually, Brahmacharya ashram in one sense is much more easy. You gotta kind of find a balance. That's ultimately why these things are decided by authorities. You know, they decide if somebody should get married or not, and then to whom. You know, if it's a matchup. Of course, many times people don't listen. At the same time, I also heard, I don't know if it's true, I mean, I've not really read it, that this is an order you can refuse. If somebody tells you have to stop being brahmachari, then the brahmachari can say no. And there's many examples in the scripture that people are being told to get married, and then they say, no, I really don't want to get married. And then Brahma has to come, and Narada Muni has to come, and they all have to preach to the guy. And then finally he's like, oh, okay, I'll do it, you know. But in first, I mean, everybody has to listen. If Lord Brahma comes down, then you should immediately say yes. But in this case, you can see they're arguing back. They're saying, no, I really don't want to do it, you know. And then Brahma convinces them that, no, I need progeny. You know, you're a very pure soul, and I have here a very nice lady for you, and I need the universe being populated with pure progeny. So like that. Bhaktisiddhanta Goswami Maharaj, Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj, he used to say, if I can make my children Krishna conscious, I would have 100 children. So the idea is to make the children Krishna conscious, and then it's good. Then it's good. Anyway, that is just a little bit of an introduction. I will speak more about it, but I just wanted to have it just off my chest, because otherwise I feel I'm not being honest, because I personally feel there's a little bit of a weight on this verse. And also, you might be more inspired to learn it, because, you know, I want to really get into the Sanskrit, because I can really teach you a few things about Sanskrit, because the words are really interesting. So I'm just going to get into it. So the first word is karma indriyani. This is actually also important to know. That will be discussed in the, I think it's the 13th chapter. That to me is a very important, it's the 13th chapter, Nature, the Enjoyer and Consciousness. And there is being explained about the 24 elements, and is one of my favorite topics. And I feel you should know these things, you know. You should know the 24 elements, you know. And these are five of them. He's speaking about the five working senses. So you probably might not have heard of that, but the five working senses are the legs, the genitals, the anus, the arms, and the speech. So that is the five working senses. The normal senses, you know, that is the eyes, the ears, the nose, the taste, and the skin. That is 10, and then you have the sense objects. So the eyes, they see form, the tongue tastes, like water. So taste is related to water. Water is you have five main elements: earth, water, earth, bhumi, apo, nalo, vayu, kam, and then three subtle elements: mano, buddhir, ahankara. So earth, water, fire, air, ether, that everybody knows. And then what Krishna adds is mind, intelligence, and ego, or also referred to as false ego. So these are eight main elements, and they're connected to the senses and the sense objects. So the five senses everybody knows, and then they're connected to the five sense objects, like taste, form. The skin is touch. It's related also to sex. And then we have ether is sound. This is the ear. And then the nose is smell. And so they're related, like the earth, or we can go down. So you have ego. Because I'll explain you one more thing. The universe, it's like an egg. And in the bottom is water. It's not really water, it's spiritual water. It's called garbha. Like you have three Vishnus. I will not get too much into it, because otherwise you might get confused. But there's one Vishnu, and he's called Garbha Dakashai Vishnu. And Garbha means womb. And it also, womb. And it and the universe also referred to as Brahmananda. Brahmananda also means like an egg. Anyway, the universe is like an egg. And Garbha Dakashai Vishnu, he's at the bottom of the universe. And he sits on this water. Like in the womb also, there's like water, you know. So it's similar. And then from him, this lotus grows. And on top of this lotus, Lord Brahma, gets born. And this is the beginning of the universe. Then Brahma starts to meditate. And then it's described in the Srimad Bhagavatam that... I forgot exactly who was his first son, but it's like... Well, I think Narada Muni, actually. Right? Huh? Yeah. Tapa? No, that's the first sound. Yeah. But the son, I think, is Narada Muni. I'm not sure. But then you have Narada Muni, then you have the four Kumaras. They didn't want to get married. They said, no, we're going to stay Brahmachari. And Brahma got very angry. This is another example of a Brahmachari. They were his sons. They were supposed to follow the order of the father. You know, the son have to follow every order of the father, otherwise he's not a good son. But they were saying, no, we're going to stay Brahma. And Brahma got very angry, and then from his eyebrows came Lord Shiva. Of course, Lord Shiva is eternal. So it's all very mystical how these things work. Lord Brahma body exists of almost pure intelligence. So for us, as they say, ordinary mortals, we're not really able to fully understand these things. But you can take it from the Srimad Bhagavatam, that it's true. Anyway, so this Garbha Dakashai Vishnu, he's at the bottom of this universe. And then the universe is... what I'm just trying to explain is you have the bottom, and then you have the hellish planetary systems. This is where, like some of you hear about the grays, and these are from hellish planetary systems. They're very technological, but they're very materialistic. And also you have ghostly planets. They're also, in one sense, they're higher. Ghosts are, in one sense, considered higher than human beings. But their consciousness is lower because they're very much into lust and attachment and anger and these kind of things. So in one sense, they're considered lower. But they're more powerful in another sense. And then you have middle planetary systems. That is the Bhumandal. It's like a disc, kind of, in the middle of the universe. That this is why sometimes... people speak about that the earth is flat. You see, because they misunderstand it. Because it's a subtle plane. Like our mind, you cannot see the mind with your eyes, and the intelligence is subtle. So this plane, Bhumandal, is also, it's a subtle plane in the middle of the universe. And the earth planet is situated on that plane. It's a little bit complicated, but that's how it's described in the Bhagavatam. So it you have to understand it like that. And so you can't see it with your normal eyes, but it's there. And then above that is the higher planetary systems, like the moon and the sun. And there people have, like in the sun, they have fiery bodies, and also more like mind, intelligence kind of bodies. Again, it's very difficult to comprehend for us. And then you have even higher planets, Tapaloka, like that. And then, in the top of the universe, that's basically how it's understood where the spiritual world is. Like, generally it's understood, everybody in Brahmaloka, they just have to stay there, and then they will go back to Godhead. They just have to wait till Brahma leaves his body, and then everybody on Brahmaloka automatically goes to Krishna. But sometimes people fall down from Brahmaloka, so therefore Prabhupada says it's not a good policy, better go directly. But just to give you an idea how spiritual that is, I explained it yesterday also a little bit. It's higher and higher and higher. But the point I want to make is that around the universe, there's these five layers, or actually eight layers. Sometimes it's said 10 or 15 or even 20 layers. But the main layers are earth, water, fire, air, ether. And every layer is 10 times bigger than the previous one. So the earth layer is 10 times bigger than the universe. And then you have water, and then air, and then ether, and then mind, like that, intelligence, false egos. It's impossible, practically impossible. It's possible, but almost impossible to escape. That's why it's called Durga. So I just wanted to stress that how it's constructed. And so the first kind of element is this false ego, and then it comes down to mind, intelligence, and then ether. So ether is sound, and it's connected to the ear. And then you have air. It's also said that the air also blows through the planets. Because the scientists, they don't say that it is like that, but according to the Bhagavatam, they say that the air also blows through the planets. So the air is related to skin and to touch, skin, touch. And then we have air, then fire, right? Fire is connected to the eyes. Because fire, the air doesn't have any form. I mean ether. It just has sound. And air, it doesn't have any form, but it has sound, but you can also feel it. Ether, you cannot feel it. You can just hear it. But air, you can feel. You see? And then fire, it doesn't have any taste. It doesn't have any smell. If there's smell, it's from the earth. It's from the wood. But the fire itself doesn't have any smell, but it has form. And of course, you can feel it. It's very painful. And it has a sound. And then after that is the water. And the water has a taste. And it's related to the tongue. And of course it has a form, it has a sound, and it has you can touch it. And then the ultimate is the earth. And the earth has an aroma, it has a smell. The water actually doesn't have a smell. If the water has a smell, it's from the earth. Like you put some fruit inside it, you know. Or it's like salty. Like I smell the sea, but it's the salt you smell. And the salt is from the earth. So the water itself doesn't have a smell. It has a taste, but it doesn't have a smell. Taste, well, it does have a taste, yeah, but it doesn't have a smell. The smell or the aroma comes from the earth, so it's related to the nose. So that is 15. Are you still with me? 5 cents? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Are you still with me? Five elements, 5 senses, 5 sense objects. Yeah? No? Yeah, you got it right. So, yes. You have a question? But you got it right. 5 sense objects, 5 senses, 5 elements. That's 15. Then you have the 5 working senses. We just explained them: legs, genitals, anus, arms, and voice. That's 20. And then mind, intelligence, false ego. That's 23. And then, yeah, sometimes you say the soul is 24. The super soul is 24, like that. Sometimes they say the Mahatattva, when it's unmanifested, you know, everything unmanifested, then it's, that is 24. Anyway, but at least you should know the 23. It's not so difficult, especially if you connect them, then it becomes more logic. Anyway, so that is what they're talking about here. Karma, Indriyani. Karma means action, and Indriyani means senses. So karma, Indriyani. So that is why it's the 5 working senses, because it's the action, karma, indriyani. But you have to know that. That's why Prabhupada, he's a spiritual master, he knows Karmindriyani, five working sense organs. Samyangya. So sang means together, and yam, you have yam and niyam. This is like yoga. Things that you should do and things that you shouldn't do. This is for yogis. So sang yamya means to control. Sam is together, to take together the yang, the what you have to do, controlling. Yaha, anyone who, aste, remains manasa. So that is very easy, I think, right? What do you think manasa means? Mind, right? Mind, yeah, manasa. And then smaran, that you also know, right? What the smaran means? Remembering, yes, very good. So smaran means remembering. Here translated as thinking of. Indriya artan. So artha means wealth or object. You know, object of desire. Indriya artan, the sense objects. You see? This is such a beautiful language. And then fimuda. Muda actually means fool. And fimuda means either very foolish, a very big fool, or foolish, like a working word, somebody who does fool vimuda, somebody who does, who acts like a fool, vimuda, foolish, somebody who's foolish. Vimuda, atma, the self, mitya achara, so we have acharya, means who acts by example. Achar means good behavior, achar and prachar. Prachar again, yam and niham. So achar and prachar. Prachar means what you should not do. Achar is what you should do. Mitya. Mitya means like illusion, means false. Mitya achar. Somebody who's acting, but he's falsely acting. Pretender. You see how the language is like a mathematical language. In the 70s, they wanted to make a computer program out of the Sanskrit because it's so logical. Mitya achar. Saha Uchate, so Bhagavad Gita, and then they say Bhagavan Uvacha, so it's similar, Uchate, Uvacha, saying, here translated, is called Uchate, so it's from this Uvacha. So you can see that with a little intelligence, you can almost understand every word from this verse, it's very nice. So, just to refresh your memory, I'll read it again. One who restrains the senses of action, but whose mind dwells on sense objects, certainly deludes himself and is called a pretender. So, you know, that is the general verse, but like I said, this Gita Upanishad is very, summarized. And now we get into the purport. There are many pretenders who refuse to work in Krishna consciousness, but make a show of meditation, while actually dwelling within the mind upon sense enjoyment. So, Prabhupada immediately makes it clear that the pretenders are those who refuse to work in Krishna consciousness. That are the pretenders, not the people who are trying to work in Krishna consciousness. And even though they may fall down, it's actually expected. This is not so easy, you know. The whole universe basically, I mean, maybe I shouldn't say it because people maybe may get the wrong idea, they think, oh, this lusty brahmachari. But the whole universe basically is based on sex life. And it's not so easy to give it up, you know. That this is the main thing, actually. And we see it time and time again that people, they kind of stumble on this, you know. And it is very difficult. But it doesn't matter. That's what I'm saying. It's expected that people stumble because the whole universe, like all the demigods, they enjoy sex. And they're very powerful. You cannot imagine how powerful they are. They're so pure. They're totally pure. Still, they have this sex desire very strongly. They don't use drugs. They use drugs, but it's special drugs. Soma ras. You don't get a hangover. But they don't eat meat. You know, they're very strict. They're devotees. They work very hard. I mean, like, look at the sun god. He's never late. You know, it's not easy to be the sun god, you know. Like, I sometimes get late from Mangal Arctic. It's not so easy to get up every morning, you know. But the sun, every morning. So, you know, yeah, but we think it's automatic. You see, this is just how we think, but it's not automatic. Somebody has to be in charge. So, they work very hard, but still, they have this sex desire. And it's called the Adi Ras, actually, the original Ras. Original Ras means like taste, relation. It's difficult to translate. Humor sometimes. So this is the original. So it's from Krishna. So that's why it's in us, but it's misdirected. We want to enjoy. That is our constitutional position, to enjoy, but then it's misdirected. So you can't get rid of it. Actually, I wanted to say to get rid of it. You cannot get rid of it. You have to redirect it towards Krishna. Okay, I'm lost again. you can probably help me. Yeah, no, I was in the purport already. Well, actually, dwelling within the mind upon sense enjoyment, right? Yeah, I was talking about working in Krishna consciousness. Now, I was explaining about that this sex desire is very difficult to overcome, and it is more or less expected that people will run into troubles with this. But we shouldn't be surprised, and we should also not condemn these persons. We should encourage them to keep chanting and keep coming back, and it will be cured. It's just a matter of time. They're not really pretenders. They just tried their best, and now they're having a break. It's just a break. If we're saying they're pretenders, then when we don't have faith in the Krishna consciousness. I mean, okay, maybe sometimes people, they put themselves on a too high platform, but that sometimes has its reasons, you know. Sometimes you hear these persons and they say, I never really wanted this. People told me to do it and I just did it. They're like devotees. Okay, you want me to be sannyas? You know, it's probably Krishna wants me to be, I'll take sannyas. Like that. And sometimes then later they find out that they're not it's like we discussed it yesterday. Prabhupada used that word, premature, you know, should not be, you should not do it too fast. That is not good. It's gonna create a disturbance in the society. So we have to be carefully. Yeah, one cannot attain success by abruptly adopting the fourth order. So sometimes it's done like that, and then people, they run into trouble. But still, it should not be condemned. Because we discussed it yesterday also. Prabhupada says, if the soul is engaged in his natural function of Krishna consciousness, whatever he is able to do is good for him. So even the service, it will not go away. Some people, they fell back, but they did so much service, and that service, it will never go away. And the service, what they did, it is good for them. We have to encourage these people. Like I remember, maybe I shouldn't say his name, but one devotee ran into trouble, and Prabhupada actually wrote about him in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the purports, about this elephant. What's his name, Aryan, this elephant? From the Bhagavatam? Yeah, with the crocodile. Gajendra. Jai, Bhakta Grey, Ki Jai. Gajendra, the king of the elephants. Yeah, so Prabhupada was explaining that we should fight against Maya and we should be properly situated. And this sannyasi, he ran into trouble. And then some of his godbrothers, they started to condemn him. And then Prabhupada became very angry. He said, now you made it very difficult for him to come back. He said, don't do that, you know. And he was very happy when he saw him coming back, and he was married, and he had the white cloth, and he was very strong. And then Prabhupada wrote this purport. He said, now you can be well situated and take up the fight against Maya. So, you know, it's not good, of course, when a sannyasi falls down. But he shouldn't be condemned. He should be encouraged to keep serving Lord Krishna. Because, like I said, it's expected that people run into trouble. This is not so easy. I just told you about the demigods. So we're trying to be better than the demigods. You know, this is Haridas Thakur, you know. Maya comes, and he doesn't fall down. That is like, it's like amazing. And he was a young man. He was like 24 when that happened, I think. And the Lord Shiva, probably gives the example, he wasn't able to do it. His wife asked him, and he couldn't contain himself. You know, same with Mahinimurti, you know, Lord Shiva, he got a little excited. But not Haridas Thakur, he was fixed. So we're trying to be Haridas Thakur, you know, or we're trying to follow his footsteps. So, but it's not so easy. But the point I want to make is you fall down, you just get back up. And you fall down, doesn't matter, keep back up. Like a child learning to walk, the parent, it's understood he's going to fall. The parent will not say, oh, why don't you just lay on the floor and just... I mean, some parents might do it, but it's demoniac. No parents should do to their child. Why don't you just go there? Shall I get you a cushion? You know, you little brat, you know. Why don't you know how to walk? No, you try to help him up and try again. And we try tomorrow, it's enough for now. We'll take a break and we'll try tomorrow. This is how we should treat devotees that run into trouble. Just take it easy. Just chant 4 rounds or whatever you can and keep coming and encourage them. Because the process, we should have faith in the process. It will work. And they will get purified. And we see it actually, like sometimes devotees, they run into trouble and then they come back. And sometimes they just, boom, they get it. And immediately they're back on their old level. So it's very powerful, Krishna consciousness. So we shouldn't use this verse generally for devotees. Sometimes we can use it, you know, because nobody should be puffed up. And if somebody is really like pretending to be more than he is, that's not good. I mean, but in general, this should not be used for devotees, because we should follow the purport. The purport is not about devotees. It's about yogis who make a show of meditation. That's what Prabhupada says here. And not people who work in Krishna consciousness. So that is I just want to drive down this point, because we should be nice to devotees. Devotees are so special. Okay, I think I'll end there actually. So are there any questions? Yeah, I think so. But, I mean, you can read it in the second canto about the creation. And, I mean, I'm a little rusty, but the way I remember it is that the elements that come in like that, false ego, intelligence, mind, and then ether, like it starts with sound. And even in the Bible it says that, what is it? God was the Word, and the Word was God, and like that. It starts with the sound. So yeah, I think so. But these things are all kind of mystical. But Lord Brahma also was meditating, and then he heard the sound of Krishna's flute. Om is the same as Hare Krishna, actually, which is what we do right now. So thank you very, very much. Thank you. Hare Krishna.